redlining through a community-centered reform of the Community Reinvestment Act. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, a program that's designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first Saturday of every month.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, and I'm Felicia King. In today's show, I'm going to talk about assessments. It is a bit of a dirty word in the IT industry, and I'm going to explain why. I have a companion article for this, and would highly recommend that you take a look at that companion article, and as it gives you some very good details. And I also tell you exactly what you can and should be doing instead of assessments. There's a very narrow band of assessments that are a good idea, and I'll explain what those are, but the vast majority of assessments are just frankly a complete waste of time. They are sales tools and they are a distraction. That may seem to be somewhat inflammatory, but I will back up what I have to say about that. Let me start with just saying that I can't tell you how many times I have encountered a president of a business or some executive leader who is just exceedingly frustrated by having paid $20,000 for an assessment, or they'll get a quote for $40,000 for an assessment. You know, they'll get just some ridiculous thing. They'll either have paid for it or they'll get a quote for it. And the ones that have paid for it and they get it, their statement to me almost every single time is, we don't know what any of this means and we don't know what to do with it. So the conversation I always have with them is, because that's the wrong approach. So historically, I have been able to walk into just about any environment, and within a fairly short period of time, I would say typically anywhere from as little as 2.5 hours. Actually, I've done some assessments that I only did in 45 minutes, and it revealed a whole bunch of problems. You know, so it's like, I guess it could be as fast as 45 minutes. But I've done full business, full building assessments in 2.5 hours. And even complex campus ones I've done in 12 hours. And what the time and the expenditure comes into a question of how much boil the ocean do you want to have after that? My approach is one where I just say, look, what are you trying to do with this assessment? Because really what you're trying to find is you're trying to figure out how bad is our situation and what are probably the top 5 or 6 things that need to be fixed and in what order. And only after you get to that level of a risk prioritization should you be spending any time trying to put together even a swag estimate for how much is that going to cost. So I went into a large campus and was paid for my assessment. My assessment did not involve running some tools on their environment. My assessment involved eyes on. I went around throughout their entire campus and went around the whole day with the IT manager and made notes on, and of course was asking questions the whole time, but made notes on all of the things that I identified as were issues. Now this was hands, eyes, and ears type of an assessment. This is the kind of assessment where you get really good quality, because that kind of an assessment, when it's conducted by somebody with 30 years of experience, can lead you to a very good result. That is not the type of assessment that the vast, vast, vast majority of IT companies do. So first off, I don't think any assessment should ever cost $20,000. At that point, you're spending too much money because you're trying to boil the ocean. So that's just a wrong approach right there. So you can use a, you can use that as a gauge to say, you know, probably anything over 10 grand is just, it's just the wrong approach. Because if somebody's trying to boil the ocean, and sometimes that's not necessarily the assessor that's trying to boil the ocean, sometimes it's the executive management team that has the wrong paradigm. And I certainly encounter that a lot, where they'll say, well, we can't do anything until we understand how much is this all going to cost. No one, no one in the face of this planet can tell you that. God can tell you that. No one else can tell you that. The reason is because you can't boil the ocean, and nor do you need to. The only assessment paradigm that actually works is one where there is enough information that's gathered to get to a level where you understand what the top five or six items are that are problems. That can lead you to a prioritization process that's informed based upon technical dependencies as well as risk. And then you just put together some swag numbers for, okay, if we did item one, about how much is that going to cost? And then the executive management team needs to look at that and say, well, sure, this is our smell test number. Sure. We understand that's about a $10,000 problem. Great. Let's go fix that problem. Okay. And that's the process that works, and you work through with that. I've done 2.5 hour assessments where I found $100,000 worth of stuff to fix. How much more boil the ocean do you need? I mean, if it only takes me 2.5 hours of an assessment to come up with $100,000 worth of problems to fix, and the maximum amount of budget you might have had that year conceivably to fix your IT issues was 100 grand, what's the point of boiling the ocean further than that? You know what I mean? Like, this is why we have to get real serious about the assessment paradigms. The vast majority of time somebody is talking to you about an assessment, it's a sales tool. And if they tell you that it's a free assessment, there's your five alarm fire right there that it's not free. When they advocate a free assessment and no risk to you, that is the biggest pile of misleading hogwash I have ever heard. And the reason I say that is because in almost every single one of those instances, what they're advocating to you is that you are going to receive a tool and you are going to run that tool in your environment. Now, let's say you're the CFO and they're having you run that tool. Well, if you have competent IT right now, what's going to happen is that tool is going to get eaten. It will just completely get eaten. And those kinds of tools are a sales tool. They are strictly intended to generate FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. They are intended to be a wedge between the incumbent IT service provider and this company that is soliciting you, or that you solicited them and they said that this free assessment is part of their process. There are small paid assessments where a tech comes in and then installs some tools on systems. I've seen this happen innumerable times, right? I'm going to walk you through what that example looks like because it's a hot flaming mess. So let's say they say, well, we'll charge you $1,000, you know, discounted rate to do this assessment. And then, you know, the CEO, the COO or the CEO is oftentimes making this decision in a vacuum. And because they have some sort of objective that they want to accomplish, they don't confer with the internal IT department about this. And then they issue a dictate where they then tell the internal IT manager, you will work with this company and you will facilitate them to install their junk in our environment. Okay. Wrong approach. 100,000% wrong approach. So, you know, if you're an executive management team person and you did that, you yourself just created the breach vector in your environment because you didn't have a process whereby a tool was vetted. You gave your internal IT department no opportunity to use any method to vet whether that process was a good idea and whether or not those tools were a good idea. There was no assessment as to the adverse impact of your environment of doing that. And who was going to clean up the mess after they were done running their garbage? Yeah, that's right. This is the area where executive management people can be the problem, which is why I'm trying to help you be a more informed risk decision maker so that you aren't doing that. Because ultimately, you're the one who ends up paying the financial price for that. You pay with a mess in your environment. You pay with wasted payroll. You pay with your time wasted. So, give you some hardcore examples. There was a large campus of 7 buildings that I was the CTO for and CISO. They did have internal IT department. The COO got schnookered by an external IT service provider under the guise of, hey, pay us $1,000, we'll do this assessment. And then these people come in and a dictate was given to the internal IT manager to work with them, so he had to give up privileges. These people went and installed software on their endpoints and on their most sensitive, most highly privileged endpoints, used that to generate some data, gather some data, and then they supposedly generated a report, and that report had some scary findings, and then those scary findings were delivered to the COO. The COO didn't know how to interpret it. The COO didn't talk to me, which I guess that would have been the most logical course of action. And actually, the COO probably should have talked to me before they allowed that kind of mess to occur. But anyways, the IT manager didn't know how to interpret the results either, so the IT manager finally got me involved. So I found out about it at that point in time, and I looked at it, and I said, well, this is obviously malfeasance. The people who ran this assessment for you intentionally, because I knew the software that they used to do the work, it's not accidental. You can't, like, make whoopsie mistakes with it in terms of incorporating data from an entirely separate company environment into that report. But yet that's exactly what they did. So because they didn't find hardly any data from their pathetic tool, because the environment was hardened. The environment was hardened. Why? Well, because I was the security architect for that environment. So their tool was unable to gather 99% of the data that they wanted it to gather. And they had no idea how to deal with that sort of situation. So rather than them look like the fools that they were, they engaged in malfeasance and they took data from an entirely separate assessment that they had done on an entirely different organization, and they incorporated that into the result to generate FUD. And then they claimed that there was this huge mess that had to be cleaned up. It was outrageous. And just so you know, I would not actually characterize that as some sort of an unusual or unique instance. In fact, I would argue that that is standard operating procedure for these people that do these types of assessments, paid or unpaid. And so I ended up looking at it and had to respond back to them and said, basically, these people are just flamingly incompetent, because what they've done is they have intentionally, like I said, it can't be done accidentally, because I know very deeply well that software that they use. They intentionally incorporated data that had nothing to do with your environment in that report. And now they're using that to try to mislead you. Okay. So if I roll back the clock, they had at some point in time in the past gone through another round. I'd say maybe that was about 2 years prior to that. They had gone through another similar round where they brought in, I guess, 8 different IT companies. And at one point in time, they finally brought me in for an assessment. And I did that full day assessment where I did the walk around. And at the end of the day, I sat in the data center with the COO, the CFO, and the IT manager. And I told them what the preliminary results were of my assessment. And I just had it there written out, And I'm like, okay, this type of a problem, this is a $50,000 problem, this is a $100,000 problem, and I don't even really think it's worth going further, because this right here is the crux of the majority of your problems. They're all related to these things. And I guess the question is, if these are the most important things to fix, the question is, are you willing to allocate budget to correcting those issues? There's no point in me doing some sort of an extensive report to justify the value of my assessment that I did with only my eyes and ears and through, you know, a questioning process. We're questioning different people in the environment. And they were like, you know, this is great. It's very rapid. It's direct to its point. And the CFO says to me, you know, we've had 8 other companies in here looking at things for us and trying to give us guidance in here. No one else has ever told us what you've told us. And why is that? And my response was, well, I wasn't here when they were here, and I don't know what they did or who they were, but I can tell you that in the majority of the cases, either a lot of these companies have no A players, certainly nobody of my level of expertise and experience, or they didn't think highly enough of you to send that resource, because that resource to them is their most expensive, most valuable resource. And from their perspective, assessments are things that should be done by lower level technicians that just run some software, because it's too expensive to have an extremely highly experienced and qualified person be doing assessments. And it's just because their paradigm of what an assessment needs to be is just, it's just off. So anyways, that was the genesis of how I ended up getting involved with that client on a longer term basis as their CTO, CISO, and security architect. And you know, and then a few years later, they brought in this other company to do an assessment again. And like I said, intentionally fraudulently included data was there. So these are some of the things that you need to be aware of with regards to anytime, you know, somebody is talking to you about an assessment as a sales tool. There's a very narrow band of the right way to do assessments, and it's all around, you need to have a correct paradigm around assessments, and 99% of the people in the industry don't have that correct paradigm of the assessment because they don't have the personnel to execute that strategy. And I've encountered other circumstances where another company's come in, done an assessment for a prospect, the prospect called me up, had me do, you know, what was my version of the assessment, and then they'll show me what the other people have come up with in terms of their recommendations, and it is just frequently completely wrong. Like, they're quoting them things that are servers that is supposed to be a replacement server for something that the prospect had, when the reality is they don't even have any servers in their environment. And you know, other issues are just, I mean, big issues that are like security problems, but are actually fairly inexpensive to fix. Those things are completely missed. And, you know, they always ask me these questions like, why is it that this other company missed this stuff? And I'm like, you know, the answer is almost always the same. It's like, in that particular instance, I said, well, they sent you 2 people so that you could feel good that you were getting enough attention. But one of those people that they sent was nothing other than a glorified account manager who does dial-in for dollars and, you know, fills out quotes and proposals, but couldn't fix your PC, couldn't give you 1 ounce of tech support. And then the other person that they sent was somebody that they have given the title of sales engineer to, which really that person is nothing other than outside sales, who again is not anybody who has the qualifications to even fix your PC or give you baseline tech support. And I knew these people very, very well. So I knew for fact that I was making authoritative statements about those people's skill set, because I knew those 2 individuals personally and deeply. And I knew exactly what their skill sets were. And I also knew the business model of that company that had sent them. So to recap, what I would recommend very strongly is go take a look at my webinar where I talked about the CIS community defense model. The CIS community defense model does the world's best job of correlating and prioritizing risk with risk mitigation. So here's where the risk comes from, and here's how you mitigate the risk. And this is the question that every executive leader is always asking when they're talking about IT spend. They are almost always looking at IT as an expense category, and that in itself is not really an accurate assessment, but I'm not going to argue that point at this time. Their question is about where am I going to get a return on investment? And sometimes you're getting a return on investment in IT because you're doing innovation, and sometimes you're getting a return on security investment where you're reducing risk. And sometimes risk reduction can actually be a sales enablement. So where do you get that guidance from? And if you're an executive leader, you're going to have a hard time differentiating from one person's recommendations versus another, which is why I strongly recommend that you leverage the knowledge that comes from an international standard, which is the CIS community defense model. And I did a webinar on that, and that webinar explains to you how to understand how to get return on security investment, where you should focus your efforts. So as an example, you can get enterprise grade security for one user or one endpoint. This is totally possible. I'm not going to say that everybody can do that. But in my business, we've been doing enterprise-grade security for environments as small as one user for the last 25 years. And we're doing it for prices that no one else can touch. So that comes from a deep and rich understanding of that ROSI model. And as a result, we've never had a fully managed customer be compromised. So I'm not going to say that it's not hard. I'm not going to say that it's not complicated. It is hard. It is complicated, but it is also attainable, and it is also affordable. It is also formulaic. The challenge is, can you as an executive decision maker get informed enough to the point where you are comfortable making business partner decisions about who should be your business partner and how you should engage them in that business partnership? For what services? That's why I made this radio show, this particular episode, and that's also why I have an article for you on it, and why there's the webinar on the CIS community defense model. And just to give you top tip from the CIS community defense model, and I do cover this in the webinar, but it is that the vast majority of organizations are not executing their strategy on the top six most important categories of items. They're not doing those well. But yet, if they did those top six really, really, really well, they would mitigate the majority of risk. Now, I'm not saying that you should stop at the top six. What I'm saying is, if you aren't doing the top six correctly, then if you're spending money in another direction, or and that includes your internal people's payroll time, not just in the IT department, but all of your staff, if you are spending time, energy, and money because your, for most businesses, their inventory is their staff payroll. It's the time of their people. When you're wasting that inventory by working on things other than the top six, when you don't have the top six nailed, meaning if you're not doing those things really, really, really well, then you are definitely, in my very professional opinion on this subject, you are wasting your money. And so when you're engaging with whether it be your internal IT manager or an external provider who is not able to cogently articulate things in this manner, then I don't really think that they can properly advise you or lead through that process of identifying what really are the things in the environment that need to be addressed on a top priority basis to make the most meaningful impact and deliver the highest return on investment. It is formulaic. So remember that most assessments that are done, especially if somebody solicits you and says they're going to give you a free assessment, it's not a free assessment. I've seen all kinds of marketing campaigns where they'll send a targeted email to the IT manager, the IT director, and they'll be like, yeah, no risk, you know, free IT assessment. We're not trying to take over your existing IT provider. That's total hogwash. Okay, let's just call that what it is. That's hogwash. And then they'll say, oh, we need to check, you know, we'll help you check where your current IT services provider is doing a good job. And the reality is if you have internal IT, the IT service provider isn't really probably doing as much as you think that they are. In a co-managed IT environment, the vast majority of the things that are being done or not done is sitting inside of the wheelhouse and the roles and responsibilities of the internal IT department. So if there are deficiencies that are revealed by this air quote free assessment, and it will never be free because it will just waste your time and it will create a mess in your environment, because 100% of the time what they do for these sorts of assessments in these environments of, let's say, 25 users and up, is they come in and they install tools in the environment to interrogate the environment to try to find things that they can claim are deficiencies in the configurations, but the tools are actually fully incapable of actually evaluating the status of the environment infrastructure. It's just a fraud. It's just blatantly a fraud. But if you're internal IT and you're listening to me say this, I'm telling you that if you have some free assessment, and I'm air quoting that, that assessment will deliver a report that tells more of a story about deficiencies probably in what's going on in the things that are inside of internal IT's wheelhouse of responsibilities compared to any external IT services provider. And I know this for a fact because I have 25 years of experience involved with co-managed IT. And I'm not saying that IT services providers are perfect. I am saying that if I was in your shoes, I wouldn't want a free assessment to be done under the guise of it's going to reveal whether or not the current IT service provider is doing a good job. Because what it will actually reveal is deficiencies in what you and the internal IT department are doing. And only you can decide if that's actually the thing you want to convey to your executive management team. Personally, I would not, especially when I understand that the person who is telling me that is an account manager or a sales rep, and not a CTO and CISO. And especially when I know that what they're going to do is be running some software in the environment that is inevitably going to result in fraudulent data. And fraudulent, at the minimum side, grossly incomplete and misleading. Okay, well, that's what I got for today. I hope you find that invigorating and challenging.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first Saturday of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, go to her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, a pair of Lake Geneva Symphony Orchestra concerts are coming up. The first is Thursday, July 17th from 6 to 8 at Flatiron Park in Lake Geneva, while the second is following Sunday afternoon from 4 to 6 at the Phoenix Park Bandshell in Delavan.
I'm Steve Brown, inviting you to join us this coming Saturday morning at 11:15 for the rebroadcast of the WGTD Radio Theater's The Enigma Covenant, a World War II thriller about how the British Navy captured the German Enigma machine. Support for the Radio Theater